You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
You're listening there quite literally to the split personality in Iran right now. Today, on the 31st anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, we've played to you the sound of hundreds of thousands of government, pro-government demonstrators, and President Ahmadinejad announcing that his nation is a nuclear nation because it's enriched uranium to 20% in enrichment, 20% pure. There you're hearing the yelling of opposition demonstrators. This is an important day in Tehran, and it may speak volumes about the stability inside Iran. First of all, that Iranian presidential statement that Iran is a nuclear nation because it has enriched uranium to 20%, that's far short of weapons grade, which is 90%. Some would say it may be about as significant as Iran announcing it's bought a lot of X-ray machines. But nevertheless, it rattles the world when President Ahmadinejad says such things. Joining us is Stephen Kinzer, the author of All the Shah's Men, An American Coup and the Roots of Middle East Terror. He also has a forthcoming book on Iran and the region due out in June called Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. Stephen Kinzer, good morning.
Great to be with you, John.
So there's a lot to kind of encapsulate here. A lot has happened this week. The announcement on proceeding with nuclear enrichment by the Iranian government, the announcement of the Iranian government setting death sentences for certain opposition leaders who participated in post-election demonstrations. Can you set all of these in context? Is there a pattern emerging?
First of all, I think the regime has been steadily losing legitimacy in the June election. There's kind of a transition going on from a very interesting kind of blend of democracy and theocracy to a more conventional military dictatorship. I think it's also very important to understand that in Iran, there is a broad feeling that comes from the 1979 revolution, the anniversary of which we're observing today, that revolutions are not good. In 1978 and 79, Iranians of all different beliefs banded together and they overthrew the Shah. Even though they disagreed with each other, they all agreed that whatever comes next, it has to be better. So what happened? They got something worse. They got something more repressive. This has made them very revolution shy. And as long as it's possible to produce change within the system, I think most Iranians would desperately prefer that. Some of them, I think, are now reaching the point that may not be possible, and that is a turning point.
And yet, ironically, the Iranian government continues to say the revolution, the Islamic revolution from 1979, is continuing. Iran is facing an onslaught of interlopers from the United States and the CIA and external interveners. That theme they're trying to maintain.
The Iranian population is remarkably sophisticated, very tied into the outside world. If the United States begins to become actively involved in this project and starts to embrace the reform movement, and the reform movement begins to seem like a tool or an ally of the United States, Iranians will be aware of this, and I think they will then reject it. However, they don't feel that way yet. I think the United States and the Obama administration have taken a wise course of not trying to become too close to that movement and make it seem like it's an arm of U.S. policy. I think Iranians have sensed that, and that's one of the reasons why this movement has become so popular.
I'm sure you got a twinge of nostalgia there at the top of the hour when we replayed, a clip from the old Nightline, which actually was born, that ABC News program was born in the middle of the Iranian hostage crisis. And really, I think it's fair to say, transformed American media, certainly foreign news coverage on television. There's a similar transformation that's taken place in Iran. Listen to this interview on the BBC with Ahmed Mamarian, who's an Iranian blogger, on the power of new media.
It was after the election that they learned that how they lost the game in terms of when it comes to propaganda, how they lost the game to the citizen journalism, to Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and in general, internet.
Stephen Kinzer, do you buy that the media in Iran has transformed just as radically as it did in the United States after 1979?
Yes, and I think there's a particular reason for that in Iran, which is that the other normal avenues for public discussion have been so systematically cut off. Newspapers are being shut down. The public forum is not available to people who are critical of the government. This has combined with the intense interest in the internet and highly sophisticated skills that Iranians have developed to produce a whole network of communication that I think the government is still struggling to keep up with.
Are death sentences against opposition leaders and people who participate in demonstrations going to work here?
this is a very profound step. We had two executions recently, but those were of people that had been arrested before the June election. If they start executing protesters now, I do think, among other things, that may accelerate the rift within the regime, and we may see even more intense rivalries and debates and dissent going on inside the regime, which I think a process that's already well underway.
And oddly enough, the Obama administration has been, you know, pretty quiet on this subject. There were some remarks by the president just the other day. But you've written about this 1953 coup that the CIA orchestrated, you know, quite a while ago. But I'm wondering if you think that as this instability unfolds in Tehran, that there are individuals in the national security establishment who would love to pull some levers that haven't been pulled for a long time and try to intervene on the inside.
Iranians have, as part of their national shared consciousness, a deep sense of resentment at the outside world. They feel that every time Iran has tried to develop over the last 200 years, the outside world has broken in and tried to crush them and stop them. There's a great sense that the outside world doesn't want Iran to progress and develop. As long as this extremely brave and noble democratic movement is widely seen as being a domestic Iranian product, it will continue to have the impact on society that it's having now. For the United States, and perhaps well-meaning, to try to rally that movement and start cheering it on every day from the highest levels of government would be a great mistake, because it would take away the independence and the image of independence that is the greatest asset of that movement.
Well, not to sell Stephen Kinzer books or anything, so all the U.S. can do is really watch and wait while Iran resets. Is that what you're saying?
I think what we can do is be explicit in our support for human rights and our condemnation for violations of human rights. Let's not get into details of what ought to happen in Iran. Let's leave that to Iranians for once.
All right. That's Stephen Kinzer, who's the author of All the Shah's Men, An American Coup and the Roots of Middle East Terror. His forthcoming book is Iran Reset, Iran, Turkey, and America's Future. It's due out in June. And we're listening to protests in Tehran, on the streets of Tehran, on the 31st anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. The question is, where does the revolution go from here?
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.